time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
I'm sitting here in my office with a man, a researcher, who's been working on a book, The Archaeological Evidence of Noah's Flood, for 20 years, and he is convinced that Noah's Ark has been discovered in the mountains of Ararat. He's here with me in studio to talk about it on the line of fire. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you have a question about the Ark, is this discovery real? Is it a fraud? Are there other explanations for it? Is it possible that the biblical account even happened? Is there archaeological, geological evidence against it? All those kind of questions. My guest would be happy to take your calls, 866-34-TRUTH, or get in the discussion on Facebook, where we've asked the question, can we expect judgment to come on America today? There was a judgment in Noah's day. Can we expect judgment to come on America today? That's on Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. Philip, thanks for being with us today on The Line of Fire.
Yeah, thank you, Mike, and it's a pleasure to be here.
All right, your own background, I understand you have a scientific research background. So first tell me about that, and then we'll talk about your interest in Noah's Flood and the Ark.
Okay, Michael. I'm really a systems engineer, meaning that I put together systems that have to work, like the telecommunications network, the Department of Defense system for managing the communications in case of nuclear war, to keep that was the last job I did.
You're not pulling my leg here.
No.
The last
it's now about a $14 or $15 billion project, but I got out of the business, sold my company, and I've been working on this since.
So hang on. Your last major job was working with the Department of Defense,
right?
A systems analyst to see if things would work out properly in the event of nuclear war.
Right, it was my company. Yeah, we had, at that time, I had the only software that can do it. Really, the only software that could do it.
All right,
it was software that operated the telephone company, the internet, and the system that everybody's using now.
All right, so you've got a serious scientific background, systems analyst. Okay, 20 years you've been working on a book. I'm holding in my hand a copy of the front cover, The Archaeological Evidence of Noah's Flood. A systems engineer investigates the worldwide archaeological patterns from ancient times and finds them understandable only in the light of the biblical flood. Coming out December 21st of this year, 608 pages with a bibliography of 1,000 items. It claims to identify civilizations destroyed or buried by the flood, traces the spread of mankind from Mount Ararat, explains how evidence of the flood became the Ice Age, answers scientific, scholarly, popular questions about the flood, explains the blunders of scientific historiography, explains the scientific data in the light of a literal reading of Genesis. Do you believe that there was a literal worldwide flood?
Michael, when I first had my encounter of faith, that was a big issue for me because of my scientific background. I just knew that couldn't have happened.
All right. So before becoming a believer in Jesus, you struggled with this issue.
Right. I lost my faith on account of science. I was born into a Pentecostal, very believing family, but as I went off in my scientific training, it stripped me of my faith, and I looked upon people that would believe in this as uneducated. In fact,
Noah's Ark, really.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a Sunday school story for little children.
Little children.
Elephants came walking, and the snakes came slithering, and they all came, and somehow all these animals from around the world were sustained during this time, and then they just kind of went back out and and so that's how you were looking at it.
Right, and then I wanted to believe it at some point, but I just couldn't believe it. I just knew too much. I knew too much about the ancient history, about geology and that type of thing.
All right. So now you've thrown out science, though. You just believe the Bible, and you've thrown out science. Is that your approach?
Well, this became an issue for me because of what Jesus said about the days of Noah. And when you have an encounter, you know, with Jesus, and it means you trust him. And if you trust him, you know, you want to think he knows the future is more difficult to know than the past. Now, if he's captive to his contemporaries about the past, if he's just
right, they just believed in that day. Right, right. There's a Noah's flood,
right?
And he was a product of his times,
right?
So
right.
Even though he's our savior, he was still just a Jew of his times who believed these ancient myths.
Well, if that's the case, we couldn't really trust the words that he sent, and he sent his apostles to lay the foundation for our faith.
All right, so if he was not telling the truth about the past, how can we trust him about the future?
Absolutely.
So that got you on a study which has lasted 20 years, serious research. Now, we're going to talk about the controversial Ark discovery. Is it real? Has there really been a discovery of the Ark? But what's unique about your book is you get into the archaeological evidence. What's different about your approach than the approach of other scholars who've studied this?
Well, since the earlier in this century, when it became obvious that mankind had very early spread through the earth, you know, we could no longer hold to the local flood, believing it was all mankind was limited to a certain area and it was a local flood. So, since that time, the only people that have had a worldwide flood has been the younger creationists.
So the people that believe that the earth is only a matter of thousands of years old, very very much seeking to hold to the scripture and honor the Lord, hold to, so they call it the young earth creation.
Right.
So they've said there really was a worldwide flood.
Right. They're the only ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with rare exception, those that say that the earth is billions of years old, those people do not believe that there was a worldwide flood. They come up with some other expert.
Right.
Local flood.
Yeah.
Just talking about wiping out the people that lived in one part of the world.
Right.
All right. So the unique approach of your book, then, to talk about the archaeological evidence, what are you doing that's different?
Well, the young earth creations have a geological flood, and since the time of early modern times, the evidence of the flood is focused on geology. I'm doing archaeology. In fact, archaeology is really quite new. The whole science is only a couple hundred years old. It's geology is much older than archaeology, but nobody's ever did a worldwide, at least I can find no evidence that anyone's ever done what I'm doing.
All right, and in your mind, true scientific study, accurately looking at the facts and deducing from those facts what happened, this supports a worldwide flood?
Yes, actually, my methodology, I set out to prove that the flood could not have occurred, a worldwide flood, and that's the way science works. And the way I would prove it, I had three criteria. You know, if the flood occurred, there had to be a loss of population sometime in the third millennium BC. There had to be. And then you'll see a discontinuity in culture. If a new culture, you won't see it would disrupt the continuity, like in Egypt or China.
All right, so that'd be one thing you're looking for. Second thing?
That's two things. And then the third thing would be a new dispersion of people that from the initial dispersion.
So decline in population, disruption of culture, and then dispersion.
Dispersion, those three things. Now, for some reason, it didn't occur to me to look for dead people. Or people that might have been, I don't know. Nobody ever talks about that.
Uh-huh.
But that's going to be very key in my book.
All right. So you have gotten really interested in the discovery, the recent discovery by a Chinese group claiming that they have found the Ark on Mount Ararat. In fact, you're holding a special event October 14th. Folks, on our website, askdrbrown.org, if you click on the line of fire, you'll see a link to araratdiscovery.com. Let me also give you a phone number, 704-469-6724. That's 704-469-6724. In conjunction with the National Apologetics Conference, there is going to be a special presentation by the folks that claim to have discovered the Ark. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. We're going to go right to the Ark, right to this discovery on the other side of the break. They will be doing a presentation at the National Apologetics Conference, which I urge everyone within hours of Charlotte to be at October 15th, 16th. And then culminating the event will be my debate with Rabbi Shmuley Boteach and Can Jews Believe in Jesus? But the day before, October 14th, Philip is sponsoring a special gathering. It is a two-hour session, a private briefing on what appears to be the most important archaeological discovery of all time. Now, the tickets are $99.50 each because this is helping to raise funds to bring these people in to make this presentation. It's not a money-making device. It's a way to facilitate having them share this with the public at the National Apologetics Conference. So find out about this. This would be a very unique opportunity, something I strongly encourage you to take advantage of. So go to our website, AskDrBrown.org, click on the line of fire, and all the details are there. When we come back, come on, this is a hoax. It's some shrine. This is crazy to think the Ark has really been discovered. We'll take those issues up when we come back. Has Noah's Ark really been discovered? I'm sitting here with a researcher, former systems analyst, who's convinced after 20 years of study that the recent claims about Noah's Ark are real. Michael Brown sitting with Philip Williams, 866-34-TRUTH. Do you have any questions about this? Have you heard about the alleged discovery of Noah's Ark? Do you have questions about it? 866-348-7884. Also, on my website, AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. Make sure you visit there. We've got info on the National Apologetics Conference, where there will be a major presentation on this in 2 weeks in the Charlotte area, and a private briefing with those who claim to have found what they believe is the Ark happening the day before. So all that info is on our website. Okay, Philip, you hold to an old earth versus a young earth. You hold to a literal flood. What's written in the book of Genesis literally happened. Recent claims that the Ark was discovered. Why do you take these so seriously? Why do you think this really could be it?
Well, to be honest, Michael, I've never been interested in what they call archaeology, the searching for the Ark. I didn't think that it would probably survive this, and I thought, like others, that they probably, it was probably torn apart and used for something.
So you were looking back, you're doing all your study on archaeological evidence, right? You knew about the geological studies, you're looking at the archaeological studies, but you weren't looking for the Ark.
Right, and the ones that were looking for it, I knew some of them were involved in some very unprofessional, even fraudulent types of things. You know, that are a lot of popular Christian archaeology.
So some folks are doing it with real sincerity. Some may have been doing it as a money making thing, whatever.
Right.
But you were not.
I was not. In fact, after this large book, 600-page book, and I had no mention of any of the searches for the Ark. Because I didn't want to tempt my book with that type of.
So in your mind, it would have cheapened 600 pages of massive, serious research, the product of 20 years, with is the Ark here? Is the Ark? We discovered the Ark. But you're taking this current discovery very, very seriously. Give me a few reasons why we should take this seriously.
Well, actually, I first heard of this a few years ago. It was a short announcement there. And there were two things that got my attention at that point. One was the involvement of the archaeological authorities. Most of the people that do this, they do this in a way. They don't involve professional archaeologists.
Okay.
And this group had. That got my attention. The second was the mention of caves. And if something's going to be preserved from this long, I knew that it had to be covered up. It had to be buried. And most of these reports of the Ark was not buried. But those two things really got my attention. I was riveted, but I didn't hear anything. I wanted to hear something. So it's 2 years, and I'm going to publication of a book, and I haven't heard anything. And then back in April, the last of April, my mother, who has supported me on this work, she said, "Philip, turn on ABC News."
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I was watching it that time. Diane Sawyer said that a group has reported that Noah's Ark has been found on Mount Ararat. And that was all that was said that day. And, of course, that I knew who had done this, and I was very excited. We were out there ready to celebrate. And then as we go out to do that, then these reports started coming in that this was a fraud. And, boy, did that rain on my parade, because I had not, you know, I mean, who would be calling this a fraud.
All right, so the two main objections that we would hear, there's no question stuff has been discovered.
Mm-hmm.
No question a lot of wood has been discovered on Mount Ararat.
Well, so, at that point, it was not sure that anything had been discovered. When
Said,
yeah.
But let's just say that people agree that something has been found. The two main arguments against it would be, one, it's some kind of ancient shrine. People believing that these were holy places or whatever, just for whatever living reasons, thousands of feet up the mountain, built these elaborate shrines using a lot of wood, massive amount of material that could look to some unknowing eyes. This is the Ark. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that it's a fraud of some kind, that workers, in order to deceive others or in collusion with people working on a great deception, brought this wood, planted it there a few years earlier this way it could get nice covered with ice and all this stuff, and people could actually think that it's the Ark. Hey, what a way to become famous. I discovered the Ark. What a way to get money. What a way to draw attention to what you're doing. So what are your responses to that? Let's take them one at a time. The arguments that this is a fraud, now that you've been able to look into this, meet the people, see more video footage, get more scientific data, why is it that you are convinced it's not a fraud?
Well, when I told you I was shaken up when I first heard about this and being a fraud, and this, it was like a great disappointment. But then I investigated who was making these claims, and then I realized I knew both parties that were making the claims. It's primarily one party that was making the claims.
All right, so your feeling about that was the people that were making the claims were also ARC researchers, etc.
Right.
And that caused you to question. But let's get past that.
Right.
Maybe they're right. Maybe because of their years of research and looking at this, they really are right. So.
Right.
Do you have any other reason to say that the claims of fraud are not true?
Well, you would have had to invest literally millions of dollars just to fabricate this for what purpose? So it doesn't make sense that people would have invested this.
Maybe
you could have easily proved this.
Okay, but maybe there's somebody out there
mm-hmm.
who's a billionaire and a few million to them is nothing.
Uh-huh.
Why couldn't this be fraudulent? I mean, some claim that there, you've got the way the thing is made indicates that science of Noah's day could not have made it. It's obviously later shipbuilding techniques or things like that, or there are reports of people carrying wood in there as a fraud. So, come on, you got to have a better. If you're going to say this is the Ark, I need a stronger response.
Right. Well, part of it is that I'm familiar with the archaeology of the third millennium, the building techniques, and what was available at that time,
mm-hmm.
And everything about that rings true. By the way, the pyramids were built at the same time that the Ark was built.
Got it.
They were being built. So there was a great loss of technology that would happen in the following.
Okay.
In the year of the flood, and things go back rustic from a very highly refined civilizations that were just a few just before this time.
All right. Now, obviously, we could get into more detail. I don't know that I could make it radio friendly. So
mm-hmm.
let's just go from there and talk about the claims that it was some kind of shrine.
Uh-huh.
Why isn't that a viable theory here?
I think that's at least a more respectable claim because. Noah's Ark is still an industry. It's an industry for the Turks, and there's churches. One of the reasons is there's the buildings and the structures that are built around there. There's not enough wood even the churches use wood. They only have the wood is for the lining of the doors.
In other words, the region and getting wood there. There are issues with building at certain heights with certain amounts of wood. So that the church buildings that are built there, the shrines that we know of, use limited wood. Whereas, I mean, how much wood are we talking about? If there was an actual ark?
A lot of wood.
a lot of wood. Okay. I'll say this. When I saw the video early this year, I was shocked by the amount of wood. And the big question I was wondering was, how in the world did so much wood get up there if it's not the ark? We'll be back, and we're going to take this a little bit further. The plot thickens. We're talking about Noah's Ark. We're about to talk about implications of Noah's Ark. If has been discovered. I'm on our what that might say to us today. Michael Brown with Philip Williams, who is the author of a forthcoming book, The Archaeological Evidence of Noah's Flood. If you've got a question about the Ark, about this discovery, or questions maybe about ancient issues, how could there have been a flood, etc., 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Just another reminder, at the National Apologetics Conference, October 15th and 16th, there will be a special presentation from the Chinese people, Christian committed believers who, not looking for the Ark, believe they discovered the Ark, want to present that evidence. And then the day before, October 14th, a special private presentation, which is also a fundraiser for the event. You can find out about that if you go to askdrbrown.org and click on the Line of Fire. We've got links to the Apologetics Conference and the special private briefing on October 14th. Okay, Philip, what to you is the most compelling evidence that this, in fact, is the Ark? You're working 20 years on a book about the flood. You don't want to blow your reputation before you even put your book out by saying that something is the Ark, just based on hearsay. What makes it so compelling to you on a scientific level?
The evidence that they're producing is everything is based on the evidence in the scientific area.
All right, so does the location phase you in your studies?
I traced a early Bronze III, which is really the roots of the Middle Bronze, to the very foot of Mount Ararat. And had a discussion with one of the Ark searchers some years ago, and he was believing that the Ark was on another mountain in Iran. And I said, well, I've traced it to right here to the upper terraces of the Kura and Araxes River there in Armenia and Turkey. And that it, maybe the Ark landed on another mountain, but here's where the archaeology is leading right here. Literally to the plains that we're talking about.
All right, so the location works with studies you had independently. Okay,
and that's the only location that fits the Bible description, because it's the mountains on of Ararat. It doesn't say Mount Ararat.
Yes,
but this is the only mountain where you could possibly have, after 3 months of the water subsiding, you could see the tops of other mountains. It's probably the only mountain in the world. It is the only mountain in the world that fits the biblical description.
Okay. What about, have they done any dating of the materials, carbon-14, any other dating of the materials?
Yes, the wood dates to 4800 B.C. The flood that I date by calibrated radiocarbon dating is about where Bishop Usher, James Usher, it's about 2345 B.C. But the wood would have to be mature trees, and so after several hundred years of growth. So it's very close to being perfect for the...
Okay, so, but it dates to be ancient. It doesn't date as something within the last 500 or 1,000 years.
It dates to some hundred years before the flood. The wood does.
Got it. Okay. Let's say that the Ark has really been discovered.
Mm-hmm.
This was my attitude if he asked me a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So what? I believe what Scripture says either way. I'm not moved. If they claim they've never found it, it's a myth. They claim they found it. Either way, I believe the Word of God. It doesn't faze me. Now, after I went to a private presentation earlier this year, it really got me thinking about a few other related issues. But in your view, if this is really found, what's the big deal? Why is this so significant? I mean, you claim, and this will be discussed in the private briefing on October 14th, you are invited to a private briefing on what appears the most important archaeological discovery of all time.
Absolutely.
What's the big deal?
Well, first of all, we have a faith that's based on truth. It's not, if it were myth, it wouldn't matter. If you were doing Homer and your faith was in the Greek gods, it's not going to correspond. The Bible gives you all types of connections to history and the real places, the real events, and the real things. So our faith it's not that we have to have the evidence to believe, but that at some point the evidence has to be true. You know, if we believe in a resurrection, if not, we're like the Apostle Paul said, we're of all men most miserable. If all this is based on merely
I believe whether Jesus rose from the dead or not, I believe. No, that's not faith, because faith is based on what really happened.
Right.
God really delivered the people of Israel from Egypt. God really created the universe. There really was a flood. There really was a Jesus who worked the earth and died and rose.
Right.
So do you think that there is a spirit of skepticism, perhaps the bowing down to the God of science in our society today?
Oh, absolutely, especially in the churches.
Actually,
there's far more skepticism of science among scientists themselves than there are among theologians. Theologians, up until a few before the Enlightenment,
more skepticism among theologians.
Oh, absolutely. Bill Buckley some years ago quoted a survey in which the theologians at that time, especially now, I think it's changed since then, but it was like 90% atheists, the major theologians. Whereas if you were just to go among ordinary scientists, it wouldn't be that high. It is high because in the academic environment, unbelief is much higher than among the general population. Let's go back. If you go back before the Enlightenment, back to the 17th century, up until the time that Christianity became established, the Bible was the authority. It was the unquestioned authority. And then, but with the Enlightenment, you had deism and sort of a philosophical Christianity started replacing it. And now science is the authority.
No, but hang on. Stephen Hawking is so smart, and he just wrote a best-selling book, mm-hmm. and he explained that God didn't create the universe. So it must be true because he's really smart.
Right. Somehow or another, I think Berlinski mentioned that the book is coherent. So I don't know what to say about that book. But now there it's very difficult to some people say, well, you can't prove a miracle. Well, you can't prove a miracle in the sense that you can't really prove anything. You can always doubt anything.
Okay.
Like Descartes showed. But evidence is there in line. Science is based on regularly occurring evidence. But if there is a miracle, like Jesus rising from the dead, there is evidence there. The evidence is an empty tomb. I think there will be some people talking about this at the apologetics conference. And if someone is really healed, they're either healed or they're not healed. Now, I know there's a lot of
right, but if there's a genuine healing, let's say someone was born blind and was 25 years never saw, and then they're completely healed, then a scientific test of their eyes would prove that they can now see.
Yeah.
And if a test had been done earlier, it would prove that they couldn't. So back to Noah's Ark then.
All right, right. There are most of the miracles of the Bible, even though you could find evidence that's in line with it, but they affected too few people in just one small part of the earth. There's two possible miracles from the Bible that you can prove. One would be creation.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think that science has conceded that the world was created. Up until about 50, 100 years ago, that was the big argument, that the universe was permanently existing. Now the Bible has won there.
So if there's a big bang idea or something.
Well, we know now that the world was created. But you could still hold that and hold a kind of a deist view that there's not a God that's still active in creation. With the flood and the powerful evidence that we have here of the ark and the flood, you have the evidence of a flood. You have the real provable evidence of that nobody
got it. All right. So this would be scientific evidence that mm-hmm. what the scriptures talked about that people have mocked is true. Okay, we come back. I'm going to get a couple of calls. Mike in Salt Lake City, you're up first. And we'll talk about the implications for today.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with us, folks. God of light. Thanks for joining us, Michael Brown, with my special guest, Philip Williams, has a forthcoming book on the archaeological evidence of Noah's flood and is deeply convinced that Noah's Ark has been discovered. 866-34-TRUTH, online, askdrbrown.org. Just want to clarify very quickly that Philip said that the Hawking's book, Grand Design, is incoherent, and I've been amazed at how many one-star reviews there are on Amazon from people who classify themselves as skeptics and atheists and just feel that the book is maybe selling on the author's reputation, not on any content in the book. Okay, let me grab one quick call, and then I want to talk with you about who's going to be in Charlotte and the special opportunity. Again, this could be once in a lifetime. If this is the real thing, right? This is quite an opportunity. Let me grab one call first. Mike in Salt Lake City, thanks for patiently holding. What's your question?
Hi, Dr. Brown, thank you. God bless you. Your question was based on the fact that when the angel of God in Genesis chapter 6 looked upon the women of mankind and found them beautiful, and they took of them as many as they wanted, and then they had Nephilim. And these were the Nephilim that built the pyramids, the ones that the spies were sent into Jerusalem or to the promised land, and they said there's giants there. They are Nephilim there. And I think it's really remarkable that they're finding these UFOs just recently, you know, coming out with this evidence. I believe it's all about the purity of the bloodline. And when Jesus said it was going to be in the days like Noah, he meant that somehow the bloodline was going to get messed up again. And that I believe that 99% of these abductions about UFOs is probably unreal, but 1% may be real. And that's how the Nephilim will be returned. And
all right. Well, Mike, thanks for weighing in with that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let that comment stand without comment from me. All right, Philip, who's going to be in Charlotte on October 14th? What's significant about this?
Well, if you go on the website, NAMI's website, the Noah's Ark Ministry, the Hong Kong organization, you'll see Panda Lee. You'll see the two spokesmen on answering some of the critics. They will be here. Panda Lee and Wing, who is really in charge of this, plus of course the little lady that who's the thinker behind this, the journalist that went and got the stories from the people there, and that resulted in this discovery.
All right, so this is ararotdiscovery.com. People can get information there, or you want to do something special. Spend $99.50 helping to raise the money to bring this team over from Hong Kong to make a presentation at the National Apologetics Conference. Call this number, 704-469-6724. That's 704-469-6724. I know, Philip, you've stretched out by faith to make this happen. So 2 hours, this is going to be more than they can present to the general public. Are they going to take questions?
Yes.
What's going to happen?
Yes, there will be about an hour's presentation about what they found and how they found it. And then we're leaving an entire hour for both sessions. The sessions will be identical.
Well, this afternoon and evening sessions.
This is the first North American appearance of the group that's found it. They've talked to private groups, but this is the first public appearance of the people. That two of them who have, if this checks out, have actually been aboard Noah's Ark, have been inside of it, and they'll tell you about it. That would have both spiritual and natural significance to hear them firsthand. And find out for yourself, are these credible men? You can go on their website, Noah's Ark's.
Right.
But
they'll be here in person.
Yeah,
in Charlotte.
Right.
When these folks went up and saw what they believe was the Ark, they weren't looking for it initially. They were not doing Ark research in the same way. When they discovered this and they came back down to the rest of the camp, because not everyone could make the trip up to where it was, what was their reaction? What did they do when they got back?
They wept.
Why were they weeping?
They were overwhelmed that, as you said, they were not looking. They were filming traditions and stories about the Ark. They were not looking for the Ark. Now, when they actually, of course, uncovered it, the parachute, the Kurdish guide there that had taken them there, had already been in there. But he's now taken the group that's sponsoring him, which is the NAMI group, in there. And in fact, this group have built, and this started with a land development company in Hong Kong who built a full-size replica of the Ark.
Really?
And it hired media evangelism as to operate this as a museum and theme park.
Really? So when they encountered what they thought, this is the only explanation, they came down to the rest of the team and wept. Okay, when we come back, I want to give you my own take on this and talk about the implications of this discovery, real or not, for our day. Stay with us. We're going to sum up some of our conversation about the Ark. Again, special event October 14th with those who are involved with what they claim is the discovery of Noah's Ark here in Charlotte. This will be a fundraising event, but a private briefing. And then on the 16th, towards the end of the Apologetics Conference in Charlotte, October 16th, there'll be a public presentation as well, but you have to be part of the Apologetics Conference to see that. Okay, Philip, my attitude before seeing the video footage at a private gathering, not as extensive as what will be happening October 14th, but here's what happened. My attitude prior to that was, as I said, whatever, they discovered or not, I believe what Scripture says either way, whether there's a discovery or not. If someone claimed they could prove it not to be true, that'd be one thing. But when I saw the footage and all the wood, now I don't know if this is Noah's Ark, and there are a host of biblical and interpretive questions I'd have to answer, historical archaeology that you've researched that I haven't. But I was overwhelmed with a sense of, oh my God, how did so much wood get on the mountain? And a real flood happened, and there really was an ark. In other words, there was a certain sense of divine reality that came to me when I looked at this subject. What do you think are the implications for us in terms of reality of judgment? If the flood really happened, what does that mean to us today as a society?
Well, you know, Jesus compared the days of his coming to the days of Noah, and the Nami people are very much focused that they were led to do this because of the second coming. Now, the second coming is not a flood like the before. It's a destruction by a tribulation or fire or whatever happens. And the people of God need to be gathered together. They need to be the what saved the early Christians after AD 70 and the fall of the Roman Empire. The church was the only thing that survived as far as any. It kept things going and allowed people to continue to function. And so there has to be a gathering, a unity of the people of God. And if you don't have a literal Bible, you have no means of having any unity.
All right, and let's consider this. I'm reading from the commentary of David Turner on Matthew. In Noah's day, people were going about their business, caring for daily needs and making future plans despite the preaching of Noah. They were oblivious to the threat of impending judgment, and they were surprised by the flood. At that point, concern for such matters as food and marriage become pathetically superfluous. So as it was in the days of Noah, so also the days of the coming of the Son of Man. A lot of people say, well, it'll be just as wicked in our day as it was in Noah's day. But the main parallel Jesus is speaking about is there was warning of impending judgment, and people just went on with life as if everything was normal.
Too busy.
Too busy. And, hey, we got a marriage. We got kids to deal with. We got a job. We got Noah. We can't listen to you. I would dare say that the reality of the second coming is distant from most of us. And I would dare say that the reality of coming judgment and final judgment is distant to most of us. And here's my bottom line as I think about this. Yes, by all means, go to these events October 14th if you can, October 16th at the Apologetics Conference. Go to these events. Find out the evidence. As Philip's book comes out, The Archaeological Evidence of Noah's Flood, at the end of the year, get the book, study it, come to your own conclusions about what happened, about the dating of the flood, about whether this discovery is really the ark or not. But ask yourself the question, do I really believe it happened back then? Do I really believe that there was a judgment that came? Do I really believe that there will be a coming judgment? Do I really believe that I'll stand before God one day? Do I really believe that Jesus is coming in the clouds of glory and will establish his kingdom on the earth and every knee will bow to him? If so, how should I be living today? Again, visit the website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire for more info on these special events, October 14th, October 16th here in Charlotte. And tomorrow we're going to get into a fascinating discussion of when it is right for businesses to refuse to do business with others based on their convictions. Back with you tomorrow.